Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I need God's mercy. I can't imagine there's a person here that says, I'm okay. I'm going to go ahead and continue to judge people harshly because I don't need God's mercy. I think that this is a great passage for all of us to hear, to be reminded.
It can be easy to judge people harshly, which is why we need constant reminders on mercy. We need to be merciful. The mercy we give others is the mercy God gives us. We have a great passage today on mercy and judgment out of Romans chapter 2. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Welcome to our line-by-line, verse-by-verse, in-depth study of the book of Romans. Today we're in chapter 2. We're going to be covering verses 1 through 10 in our study. In the last verses in Romans that we covered last Wednesday night, Paul introduced the transformative power of grace. That when you receive salvation from him, that you are made into a new person. The Bible says that you are reborn, or you are born again, or you are brought to life when you come to him. And that the Lord has revealed to every person, no matter where they are, that he's manifest himself inside of them. He's given us creation as a sign of who he is and the power all the way from the telescope to the microscope that reveals who God is. And that humanity in general suppressed the truth in a lie, and that God gave them over to themselves and over to vile passions. Now, in this passage, he addresses the hypocrisy that can be found among Christians, especially in the area of judgment, the nature of God's judgment, and the importance of repentance. So he's going to talk to us about hypocrisy and judgment, the nature of God's judgment eventually, and the importance of us making sure that we have things right with God so we don't have that hypocrisy in the midst of judgment for ourselves. This passage encourages us to look inwardly and examine our lives in the light of judgments we might be making that bring us under the judgment of God. In other words, the way we judge, we're going to see, is the way God judges us. And if we are full of mercy, then God will be merciful to us. But if we lack mercy, then God will give us back in kind. He will judge us without mercy. Now, this is the principle of what we're going to be looking at tonight. We're going to see a lot of different verses, but I need God's mercy. I can't imagine there's a person here that says, I'm okay. I'm going to go ahead and continue to judge people harshly because I don't need God's mercy. I think that this is a great passage for all of us to hear, to be reminded. Now, before we get into our text, let's take some time to quickly look at a few other verses in the Bible that tell us about judgment. Now, when you make a judgment of an individual, imagine yourself taking a bench when you're making a judgment, and you're saying, you did this, and this is why you did it, and this is the outcome that you should have in your life. That's judgment. A lot of people have a misunderstanding on what judgment is. Somebody will have some kind of a sin in their lives. Someone will bring it up, and they'll say, don't judge me, man. I like the man that gets thrown in. Don't judge me, man. Well, observing that a believer is not living the way a believer should be living is not judgment. The Bible says, if anyone is caught up in a sin, those of you who are spiritual, go to such a one in a spirit of gentleness and restore them. So if we can't identify that there is a sin someone has in their lives, then there's no way that we can go and restore them. The judgment comes when we begin to pass judgment on a person. They're doing this, therefore that means this. Here's our problem. There's a lot we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. Why is God a good, just judge? Because God knows the heart. Because God knows the motive. God knows what people did. We might know what people did, but what we don't know is the heart or the motive behind what they did. And that's why sometimes Somebody can do something, and even though we've done the same thing, we judge them for what they did because we knew our own heart and motive. And somehow we're easier on ourselves than we are on other people. I think if we're going to follow what Jesus said, we need to be harder on ourselves than we are on other people. Jesus said, judge yourself and you will not need to be judged. God will have no reason to judge you if you honestly look at your own life and judge yourself. Now, this is the passage that Jesus talks about judgment in. This is the one people used when they said that Jesus said not to judge. He wasn't really saying not to judge. We learn that from context. Yes, he says the words judge not. But remember, context is important. The context is important in a conversation. A news reporter can take something someone said out of context and make it mean something completely different. So when Jesus said, don't judge, he wasn't saying not to literally judge. Listen to what he says, you'll get it. So he says, this is Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. So he's making that connection between the judgment we give and the judgment we give out. Later on in this passage, he's going to say, don't throw what is holy to the dogs, and don't throw your pearls before swine. Now, we have to be able to judge metaphorically who is swine and who are the dogs. There are those, when we begin to share our faith, that are venomous towards us. There are those that we can share our faith with, and they're maybe a little bit of a platitude, but they're like, I'm glad you found something that helps you. I really am. I'm really glad that you found this. But they're not venomous, but there are those who are venomous. And you don't cast your pearls before the swine. So you've got to make some judgments on what kind of a person is when you're sharing your faith with them. Don't give what's holy to the dogs because they're just going to end up cursing it, just the kind of person they are. So we know we have to make some judgments. So he says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Again, if I'm going to be judged by the way I judge people, then I want to be full of mercy. Then I want to be careful not to judge harshly because I don't want to be judged harshly. And I want God's mercy. And as I said earlier, I think everybody in this room is in the same category. And if you think you're not, you're probably in trouble. It goes on to say, it will be measured back to you. Excuse me. And with the measure you use in your judgment, it will be measured back to you. So you can guarantee a merciful, lightly measured judgment from God by being merciful and lightly measured when you're judging. When you find out that someone did something, you say, well, I don't know what was going on in their mind. I have no idea if they were crying out to God for forgiveness. You're giving them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that more of that needs to happen within the church. Jesus goes on to say, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Now, I think Jesus is being a little funny here. Somebody's got a speck in their eye. You have a plank sticking out of your eye, and you're like, let me help you. And this big plank coming at you, and you're like, no, thank you. I'm okay. And that's the Christian we never want to be. We never want to be that's going to judge somebody for a speck when we have a plank in our own eye. What does Jesus say? Do we ignore the speck in someone else's eye? Listen, something in your eye, it's irritating and it's hurt. It's good to get it out. So what does Jesus say? He says, but do not consider the plank in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brethren, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, the plank is in your own eye. And then Jesus says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What business do we have judging other people when we haven't judged ourselves, when we haven't evaluated? Is there something going on in my life that I need to get rid of? Is there something I really need to do business with, be forgiven, fight against, a stronghold in my life that I need to take care of? As long as we are struggling with those kind of things, then we should not even be judging anyone else. Now, James 2:13 says, this is very similar, but this is out of the book of James. So this is the half-brother of Jesus, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem who wrote this, who says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. How important is it that you and I as believers show mercy to the people that are in the world, to other believers? It's connected to our own mercy. For judgment is without mercy to those who show no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It is the mercy of God when we deserve to be judged that triumphs over judgment. Now let me give you a verse that often scares me. This one scares me. And it scares me partially because I'm a pastor and I spend a lot of time talking. Plus, besides that, I've got the gift of gab. So it scares me. So Matthew 12, 36 to 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Do you talk like a kind, forgiving, merciful person? Do you sound like Jesus? Now, I'm not saying Jesus wasn't confronted, because he was. It just so happens he confronted the hypocrites more than he confronted anybody else. It was the religious hypocrites that he came against, because it's such an ugly thing when someone acts superior to someone else but has something going on in their own lives. Now, one more, and I wanted to give you this one as the last one, because I don't want you to think that you're not supposed to judge. There are times that you need to judge. Is this a person that I want to be involved with? Is this someone that I want to help? You need to make judgments about people. And so here's what Jesus, again, said in John 7, 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So rather than just looking at someone and making a decision, you get to know them better, you look for what the truth is, and you make righteous judgments. Now note, we're being told to judge there, right? It says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So you're supposed to judge, but just with righteous judgment. So that's really important. Now, the important thing is learning the proper guidelines or guidance in judgment. The title of our message today is Hypocrisy, Judgment, and the Kindness of God. The thumbnail, or the subtitle, is Avoiding the Pitfalls of Hypocrisy. And I want to explain this picture to those who can't see it, okay? So the idea is that he's looking into a broken mirror. So he can't see his own hypocrisy. What he sees is distorted. And that's what hypocrisy is. Oftentimes the hypocrite can't see his own hypocrisy. He sees other people, he thinks, but he sees his own hypocrisy. We had gone through a few pictures, by the way, before we settled on this one. There was one with a girl looking really nice into a broken mirror, and it just didn't have the right feel. This had an anxiety in the picture, and it gives me the sense that hypocrisy ought to cause us anxiety. We ought to struggle with it to get it under control. Now, let's get to our text. Now, we're going to cover the first 10 verses, as I said, and the first thing that we find out is we have a danger, the danger of hypocrisy, and this is Romans 2, 1 through 3, where it says this, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. So this is the idea that you're judging someone for stealing, and you yourself are stealing, but you're looking down on the person who is stealing. Now, this does not need to be a kind for kind. It says who practice the same kind of things. It means that you're judging someone for some sin in their lives, and you have some unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. No, this is really bad if you judge someone for the same thing that you are doing. For example, if you judge someone for watching things they should not watch on a computer, like something highly sexual in nature, I'm being careful with my words here for little ears. but you yourself are doing the same thing, then you can expect to be judged for what you do. Let me tell you a story. So for many years, we were the association, Calvary Tucson was the association for the state of Arizona. That means that if someone wanted to start a Calvary Chapel somewhere, they submitted paperwork to us, we interviewed them, and then we passed it on to Calvary Costa Mesa with our recommendations for the decision. They would look over our stuff, and then they would either ordain someone or not, or they would call them a Calvary or not, allow them to be a Calvary or not. So this was good at both good and bad. We did this for about 15 years. One of the best days of my life is when they called and they said, we're changing it, and you're no longer the head of the Association of Arizona, because some of it was really hard to deal with. Well, we are now, once again, the head of the Association for Arizona. So it's kind of returned back to that again. But I got a call from some elders from a church here in Arizona. I'll keep completely silent on who this was because of the nature of what I'm going to tell you. And they said our pastor had found the assistant pastor looking at something on the internet he shouldn't have been looking at. We all know what that is, right? I don't have to say. And the board wanted to restore him. They wanted to give him some kind of a sabbatical, unpaid, I don't know, paid, I don't know what they were wanting to do. But the pastor of the church was just so appalled, he fired him on the spot. So he didn't really even bring it to the board. Now, I don't know if you know the structure of churches, but there is a board of elders that the pastor answers to. So I just don't get to make decisions on my own. I have a board of men that I have to answer to. And if I make a decision that should be a board decision, then they have the right to call me on the carpet on it. So that no one, it's a bad model when a pastor doesn't have those checks and balances. Those checks and balances need to be there. And so the board called me and said, and on top of that, the pastor's wife caught him a couple weeks later looking at things on the computer that he shouldn't be looking at. And here's what the board said to me. We'd love to give him some time off to have him go get some professional help and to restore him back to the body again. But I don't know how we can do that after he let the other guy go for doing the same thing. I told him, I'm just here for guidance. I'm not here to make decisions for you. I'm just here to help, you know, maybe give you a little bit of guidance. And they, as a board, voted to fire him. Not because they thought that's really what they wanted to do, but they felt like they couldn't have him go through some kind of a, and come along and help him with whatever they could help him with when he wouldn't do it with someone else. This is the principle we're talking about. If we ourselves don't have mercy, and we're doing the exact same thing, then how can we expect that to happen? And I felt for those men that had to do what they had to do, because I think it would have been the right thing to do, to give him some time off, to get him some professional help as a pastor, to at least get him some spiritual help, maybe from a pastor who's older and mature, who deals in the area of sexual addiction. There would have been a good way to come alongside of it. But he had kind of made his bed in what he had done, and that's how it ended up happening. And this is what Paul is telling us in the book of Romans. It could also be a different kind of sin. It doesn't have to be the same. You may judge someone for malicious gossip and be full of unforgiving bitterness. You may judge someone for embezzlement, and you might be stealing supplies. And you don't see it as embezzlement, but you're stealing. You may judge someone for out of control eating, and you have out of control drinking. And so this isn't just like for like. It's us evaluating our lives, knowing our weaknesses, and moving forward with fear and trembling and saying, Lord, the Bible says if any of us say we don't have any sin, we're a liar, which is really kind of funny because you're saying you don't have sin, but you're a liar when you're saying it. So you're sinning the very moment you're saying, I don't have any sin. Everybody has sin. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. And that's why we all need to be merciful. So verse 2 says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. God will judge in truth. And since God said that mercy will follow those who judge in mercy, then We make our own seat to sit in to receive mercy from God. Now, let's talk about what it means again to practice sin, because we have the idea here of someone practicing sin. To practice sin means that you got something going on in your life that is unconfessed and unrepented, that you're not fighting against it. You're just practicing it. Remember, the Bible says those who practice such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that there isn't a struggle. It doesn't mean that you don't have a sin that you might be struggling with, but it means you call out to God, you ask him to forgive you. And the Bible says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God's faithful if you confess. What does it mean to confess? I have sinned against you, God. You might need to get specific. You might feel like you need to. But I've sinned against you, God. God knows what the sin is. He's not like on the edge of a seat, I wonder what it is. Why don't you tell me what it is? You can just be like, Lord, I sinned against you. I'm sorry. And each of us need to go through that process, and multiple times. Now, Jesus spoke his harshest words towards hypocrites. So the second thing that we find in our text is we find God's righteous judgment. So we can have an unrighteous judgment when we judge people for the very same things that we're doing, when we judge people for sin, when we have sin in our lives. So verse 4 says, or do you despise the riches, the goodness, the forbearance, the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? So the opposite of how we might judge people and look down at them for what they do, God is good to us, as we sing, all the time. And the goodness of God leads to repentance. It's the love of God for you, for your family. That while we were still sinners, the Bible says, God demonstrated his love towards us. And that even when we sin, God doesn't judge you immediately. He gives you time to repent, because it's the goodness of God that brings about repentance. If you're in the situation, you've got some ongoing sin in your life, you're involved sexually outside of marriage, you're living together, you're not married, there's something going on, something I'm not listing, but you know because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and God hasn't disciplined you yet, and you think, well, it's okay, because nothing's happened yet, you need to rethink that. Because God in his forbearance is drawing you and giving you room to repent, the scriptures say. And a lot of people mistake God's forbearance giving you room to repent for God's approval, when it's the furthest thing away from approval that it could possibly be. It's God saying, I don't want to judge you. So stop. Deal with it now.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. service, right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.